pray into some things, but I just feel, have you ever been in those situations where fear comes in, or you're looking at, not if, I should just say, you know when those situations are, because we all face them, where we're looking at a storm, where we're looking at a situation, where things, they don't look good. The outlook doesn't look good. There's fear that comes in. There's things that become overwhelming. And then there's even times where, like, you don't even know why you're overwhelmed, because there's really not a whole lot going on, but you still feel overwhelmed. And something I try to do, and I don't always do it. Sometimes it's almost like when you get caught up in the storm, it's like it can kind of grab hold of your emotions, and then it takes a minute to like catch yourself and go, wait a minute, what am I doing? What am I getting caught up in? But there's something I found is no matter what the situation is, if I begin to just praise the Lord, if I set my, not only my gaze before Him, but my voice, my lips, my thoughts, my words, when I begin to set everything upon the Lord and I begin to praise Him and thank Him and worship Him for who He is, not because He can solve any of my problems or anything, but because of who my God is. When I begin to do that every single time without a doubt, like the fear leaves, everything shifts, my whole perspective changes. And I look at those times and I'm like, it's not like God didn't come in and fix anything in that moment, but it took me to this place where I wasn't worshiping, and I say this, catch this, I wasn't worshiping the situations that I was seeing. My eyes were not on those things. My attention was not focused on those things any longer. And all of a sudden, what felt like a mountain turned into a little molehill. It was, it's nothing. It didn't have the same impact. And then if I would stop worshiping and then just kind of go back and kind of think about the situation again, quickly, your heart starts to beat again and the anxiety just begins to quickly ramp back up and you're like, well, that didn't work. It's not that it didn't work. It's that it's the moment you take your eyes off of Him. It's like Peter, when he walked on the water, he actually walked on the water as his gaze was upon Jesus. It was just the moment that he took his eyes off of Jesus that he began to sink. And so this, I feel like sometimes we get into these places of worship before Him, and like all of a sudden there's this peace and this rest in a sense. And then like we're like, okay, now reality hits and now we have to deal with all this stuff. But I don't think that's how we were created. I don't think we were created to worship Him, kind of come to that higher level, and then go back to quote-unquote reality and try to face our situations. I believe the Lord, His desire and His plan and His purpose is that we become more and more like Him, the more we're our eyes are longing for Him, our gaze is focused on Him, and we become, we what happens is our mind gets transformed. Our will, our emotions begin to get chiseled away, and the things that would affect us at one point no longer affect us in the same way. But when we don't have, and this is such an amazing tool, when we don't realize what worship does, when it's that 2 Corinthians 3 where it just says, when you behold Him, you become like Him, and you're transformed into His likeness with an ever-increasing glory. And it says, and it comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so there's something that just begins to shift supernaturally, that like that we can't have happen in and of our own selves and of our own ability. And the getting in the Word is amazing, and it's even a place, it's a form of worship. Worship is not just singing songs. Worship is setting all of our thoughts, our gaze, our focus, our attention on Him. And so that's where I was saying sometimes we're worshiping our situations. We're worshiping the circumstances. We're worshiping the battle. We're worshiping the storm. Because we're focused more on that than we are on Him, on Jesus, on our Savior and our Lord. Realizing that He actually can take care of the battles. But even if He doesn't, we know His nature and His character. We know He's good. We know He's faithful. There's a scripture in Psalm 63, and it's a psalm of David, and it's when he was in the desert of Judah. And I'm just going to read it from a translation here. I just say it with a caveat. Sometimes I don't even say what the translation is, but it's more of it's kind of like the Message translation. So it's not a translation, it's more of a interpretation. But it is really good in this scripture here. It says this: O God of my life, it's Psalm 63. O God of my life, I'm lovesick for you in my weary wilderness. So here he was in the desert. I thirst with the deepest longings to love you more, with cravings in my heart that can't be described. Such yearnings, it grips my soul for you, my God. I'm energized every time I enter your heavenly sanctuary to seek more of your power and drink in more of your glory. This is the place of worship. For your tender mercies mean more to me than life itself. How I love and I praise you, God. Daily I worship you passionately and with all my heart. My arms will wave to you like banners of praise. I overflow with praise when I come before you. For the anointing of your presence satisfies me like nothing else. When he says, seek me, seek my face, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew language, face actually means presence. Presence means face. Maybe I should say it that way. We seek his face. We look to him. So I'm just going to read that again. I overflow with praise when I come before you, with the anointing of your presence, which satisfies me like nothing else. You are such a rich banquet of pleasure to my soul. I lay awake each night thinking of you and reflecting on how you help me like a father. I sing through the night under your splendor shadow, offering up to you my songs of delight and joy. With passion, I pursue and I cling to you because I feel your grip on my life. I feel my soul close to your heart. Those who plot to destroy me, they shall descend into the darkness of hell. They will be consumed by their own evil, and they will become nothing more than dust under my feet. The liars will be silenced forever. But with the anointing of a king, I will dance and I will rejoice along with all his devoted lovers who trust in him. So Lord, we just thank you for this time. I just felt like this time of worship, and maybe we just go into one more song and then we hit it with prayer. But when we pray tonight, I don't want to pray from a place of fear or worry or longing or longing's good. We can long for him. But that we're we're praying from a place of victory because the victory is in Him. And we're hearing what He desires to do, and we're declaring it into situations. So we don't operate from a spirit of fear. It's from power, love, and a sound mind. So I just feel, before we even press into the prayer, let's just, and I know we've been doing it, but let's just do it with one more song here, just to set our gaze fully upon Him tonight. That we come up to that place. So every thought is to be on Him. I don't want anyone thinking about anything of this world. Any work-related thing, any relational thing, anything, anything. Just Jesus. Set your gaze upon Him. Think about His goodness. Think about His love. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your heart. But do not allow other thoughts to have access in. I just feel like the Lord's like, I need every eye on me. I need every thought on me. This is how we behold Him and we become like Him. He begins to change us from the inside out.
We set our eyes on You, Jesus, in the throne room. In the throne room. Thank you.
So Lord, we do, we lift you up. Above every circumstance. Above every fear, above everything that we're facing. You're greater. Above every mountain, we say grace, grace to the mountains. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity we have tonight just to come into your presence. Come before you. To see it is even the prayer that Jesus told us to pray. He starts with, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy, holy, holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Lord, we thank you that we get to declare the heavenly things on earth. We get to bind and loose. We get to do your work right here on this earth in partnership with you, hearing your voice. Jesus, we thank you that you're interceding right now at the right hand of the Father. Thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit, that we have the Spirit of Christ living on the inside of us, empowering us, revealing all truth, the deep thoughts of the Father, being interceded by the Son, revealed by the Spirit, enacted by us. Thank you, Jesus. All because of the blood of Jesus. So we bless your name tonight. We thank you for this opportunity we have to pray. So we're just going to go into prayer, maybe back and forth into worship. Just grab my attention if you'd like to pray.
So I'm going to pray using Psalm 46. It's close to what Mike was reading, but this one been on my heart all day. God is on our side. Lord God, you are such a safe and powerful place for each of us to find refuge. You, Lord God, are a proven help in time of trouble. You are the more than enough God. We thank you, Lord. You're not barely enough or not quite enough or just enough. You are the more than enough God, the God who is on our side. And you are always available to us. It's not like you come and go. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and you are closer than our breath. You are right there. Lord, we praise you and thank you that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit of God. Align our human spirits with your Holy Spirit. Bring our mind, wills, and emotions in alignment under your Lordship, God, and also our bodies, that they would be whole and walk in health. Lord, we will never fear, for we stand in reverential awe of you alone. But circumstances and people and things, we will never fear. We declare that over your body, over your people, that we are not people of fear, but we are people who have put our faith in you, God. We gave you our lives, and we're not taking them back. Our lives are in your hands. So we will never fear, even if every structure of support were to crumble away. We will not fear, even when the earth quakes and shakes, moving mountains and casting them into the sea. For the raging roar of stormy winds and crashing waves cannot erode our faith in you, Lord God. God, if the whole earth were to shake and to fall apart, God, we declare that we will not be afraid. God, you know our frame. You know our frame. But in Christ, there is a place where we have no fear in this world, because our hearts are so firmly fixed on you. And the reality of who you are is a bigger, eternal, more real reality than the things of this world. So we pause in your presence, and you say, be still and know that I am God. So we just want to take a moment and just be still and know that you are God. God, you are a constantly flowing river whose sparkling streams bring joy and delight to your people. Your river flows right through the city of the Most High God into your holy dwelling places. And Lord God, your word says that we are now your holy dwelling places. So we pray that the river of God would flow into and through each of us, your holy dwelling places. For you are our God. You are our God. We are secure, and we will not be shaken. At daybreak, we will see your help. At the appearing of the dawn, the nations may be in uproar, but your kingdom is not of this world. So we raise our voices. We cry out, here he comes. The commander, the mighty God of angel armies, is on our side. The God of Jacob's. Jacob fights for us. So be still, trust, listen, pause in his presence. Everyone look, come and see the breathtaking wonders of our God. He's the one who makes conflicts end throughout the earth. He's the one that breaks and burns every weapon of war. So we surrender to you, God, any anxiety, any fear. And we will be silent before you and stop our striving. And we will see that you are the I am God. Help us to be still, for minds to cease racing. And to know that you are our God and you are for us. You are our dwelling place where your river flows into us and through us. And so we say one more time, I am the God above all the nations, and I will be exalted throughout the whole earth. Here he stands, the commander. The mighty Lord of angel armies is on our side. The God of Jacob fights for us. So we will be still and know that you are the I am God that we can trust completely. So be it.
You are the thank you.
the father brought this to me at 40. And he said, son, I taught you this from the age of 5 to 8, Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him, his presence with singing. Know, perceive, recognize, understand with approval that the Lord is God. It is he who hath made us, and not we ourselves. And we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and with a thank offering, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and say to him, bless in affliction. Praise his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy, loving kindness are everlasting. His faithfulness and truth endure to all generations. My sister had a vision. God literally took her salad away for a couple weeks, and she texted me. She sent me a picture of the salad that was back in her fridge. And she's like, Kramer, what do I need to do? And I prayed, and the Lord says, in the future, we need to come to him with thanks and praise. This Bible verse, Psalms 100, when things don't look so good, we come to him and praise him and thank him, and he's going to provide, supply all the needs we need. Thank you, Jesus.
Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 through 3. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And I feel like as you listen to this verse, there might be some people in this room that are dealing with guilt and shame that might be circled around addiction. We're talking about anxiety. We're talking about the stresses of this world. We're talking about life, and you know, life is messy, but Jesus is greater. Jesus has the ability to remove you from your situation. Jesus has the ability to give you strength to walk through your situation. Jesus has the ability to help you in whatever way that you need it in this exact moment. And I came here tonight, and I felt such a heaviness in the spirit to want to go into spiritual warfare, so I started pacing back and forth in the hallway. And I was just, you know, speaking with God in my heavenly language. And as I continued to speak, I felt this exhaustion that came over me. I was walking, and I was losing strength. I was losing energy. And I just feel like there's some of you in here tonight that are, you just feel like, you know, you're just losing strength, and you're losing energy, and you are wondering, like, can I keep going? Can I keep doing this? How long do I have to continue hiding this guilt and shame? That's this cyclical cycle, and Jesus wants to break that off you tonight. So I just want each and every person in this room, if you're struggling with some kind of addiction, I don't know you. Like, I don't know your personal addiction. You know, it could be something like, you know, it could be something like smoking. It could be something like what you do in dark places that the Lord sees. See, that's the thing, is the Lord sees everything. And there's going to be a day where we have to give an account for that. But I'm not here to condemn you tonight. I'm not here to judge you tonight. I'm just here to tell you that the Lord has better for you. He has good plans for you.
Jeremiah 29:11 says that he has plans to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. And I feel in the spiritual tonight that there has been a preparation in this environment where if you move into this, if you pray into this, that the Lord can break you free of whatever addiction it is in your life right now. And so, whatever that is that you're going through, I just want you to renounce that in your heart. I want you to say, Jesus, I give this up to you. I can't do this on my own anymore. I just ask that you would take this burden, because you said that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm just so moved with compassion right now. Jesus, repeat after me in your heart, or you can repeat out loud, I don't care. Jesus, I renounce my addiction. I renounce XYZ. I don't want anything to do with it anymore, and I believe that you are the deliverer. I believe that you have the ability to give me the strength to overcome this. So, Lord, bless me with that strength right now. Break this off of me. And if you've truly done that in your heart, I believe that you have broken a chain. I don't know when that chain came into your life. I don't know how long you've been bound, but if you believe in faith, then you can take the flaming sword of the Spirit and you can cut those chains off. Because Jesus is greater than any addiction that you struggle with right now. And so I just proclaim and declare in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, spirit of addiction, go. You're not welcome here. There are people in this room that have canceled the covenant. Wherever you've crept in, I command you right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, you will leave. Lord Jesus, send out ministering warfare angels right now to come and remove these unclean spirits. We just plead the blood of Jesus over everybody in this room. We plead the blood of Jesus. We plead your blood, Lord, your precious blood that was spilled on the cross 2,000 years ago for us. We didn't deserve it. We deserve hell, but you chose us. You chose us before we chose you, and I thank you for that. But it's by your power and your authority, and we believe in faith. And this faith sets us free. Glory to your name, Jesus, forever. Help me to walk in this. Help me to continue. Help me to follow what Timothy said, that we've been given a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. We've been given the power. We've been given love, which casts out all fear. So whatever fear that you're feeling around this right now, whatever addiction, Jesus will give you the strength to overcome that. You just believe in faith. And then it talks about a sound mind, and there's some iterations of the version of the Bible that talk about discipline. So this isn't just Jesus will give you the strength, but you have to walk into that strength as well. You have to make that choice every day to die to your flesh. And so, Lord, just help me die to my flesh every day. Let me be made more into your image day by day. Glory to your name forever. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. It says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus came to set the captives free. So, Lord, we do thank you that we are free. We're free in you. Sometimes that just means dying to ourself in these things. So Lord, we just say we die to ourself in this, and we become alive to Christ. Lord, it's in the surrender of our lives to you. So I just thank you. I just agree with Kyle with what he's saying. And Lord, we thank you for freedom from addiction, freedom from things that would hold us down, freedom from the weights that keep us from running the race, freedom from the sin that so easily entangles us. So Lord, I thank you that there is a freedom right now that we can step into that comes in you. Eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith. So we bless you, Lord, right? Yeah.
Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. It says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us to overflow more and more in love. Lord, that you would give us a special grace to love one another well, that we would work diligently to keep the unity through the bond of peace. Lord, that we would keep on growing in knowledge and understanding, not in a knowledge that puffs up, but in a knowledge that helps us to understand your good and perfect will. An understanding that helps us to understand another person's shortcomings and to make allowance for those things. Lord, we pray that we would understand what really matters so that we would live pure and blameless lives. Lord, I pray that we would endure and we would continue in a purity and in a blameless living until the day of Christ's return. Lord, we pray that we would always be filled with the fruit of our salvation. Lord, because you have created us anew, because we are reborn in you, because we've been baptized into you and are made righteous, Lord, we pray that the fruit of our salvation would be born, the fruit of our salvation would be evident, that we would be trees that produce good fruit, that we would produce righteous character, that it would be produced by our life in Jesus. Lord, we pray that our lives would bring much glory and praise to God. We pray that our lives would be a testimony of your goodness, a testimony of your power, a testimony of your life change. Yes. Lord, that everything that we do, our good works would shine out, as a light before men, that they would see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. So I was traveling this last week, and rental car was broken into and some things taken, backpacks and computers and some other things. But as I got home, I started talking to Nikki, and I prayed from the second I saw it and it happened. I had a book in there, some other Christian books, and I just prayed that whoever took it would actually touch the hand of Jesus and be transformed, radically, radically touched. And as I got home, I was talking to Nikki. She was sharing with me some stories. What's that? Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't always travel with my Bible, especially when it's business, because there's only so much space, so I use my phony Bible, as Marcus says. I use my Bible app, right, my olive tree.
Okay, sorry, you were talking to Nikki.
Yeah, right, down a rabbit hole. So as I was talking to Nikki, she started sharing some stories, and don't hear what I'm not saying here. She was talking about some of the people coming into our country. But some of the things that were taking place in New York City, and where they were overtaking police and all. And like I said, it's not about people. It's not about people. But here's what she said. She said, I feel like our country is being invaded by aliens. And the Lord spoke so clearly in that moment. He spoke so clearly. He said, you are not of this world. And I just started weeping and weeping and weeping. The definition of alien: belonging or relating to another person or another place. God said, you are of this world. You're not of this world. I put you in the world, but you're not of the world. And the world will not recognize you because it does not recognize me. In John 8, verse 23, it says this, but he continued, you are from below and I am from above. This is Jesus speaking. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that, God, the definition of that word, belonging to another person or another place, Jesus, we belong to you. God, we belong to you. Your word says it. Our citizenship is not here on earth. Our citizenship resides in heaven. Lord, I thank you that we're not of this world, but you placed us in it, Lord. To love the ones in front of us, Lord. To love the ones well. God, to intercede and contend, Lord, for those that are lost, those that are broken, those that have lost their way on their journey, Lord. God, I thank you that you marked us. You marked us as yours.
Thank you, Lord.
You marked us. You marked us. You marked us, Lord. I thank you, God, that you would move powerfully in the earth in this hour, Lord. Even as I was traveling, Lord, I was in Las Vegas, of all things, at a conference. The last time I was there, I had a dream in Vegas. One of the nights I was there, and I was walking down the street, and everything was like Armageddon. The entire city was dilapidated. And the Lord spoke to me in the dream and said, the time is coming. That's all he said. The time is coming. So, Lord, I thank you that the time is coming and the time has now come for your children, Lord, that are not of this world, Lord, to release what you've put inside of us, Lord. Release it in such a way, Lord, that we're speaking, God, in truth, from a place and a heart position and heart condition of love. So, Lord, we do. We just speak love right now. God, we just release love, Lord, throughout the earth. Not a love that's defined by this world. Not a love that's been perverted or misconstrued. But a love, Lord. A love that knows no bounds, Lord. No boundaries. A love that doesn't hold rights and wrongs or it doesn't judge, Lord. But it literally, Lord, it literally releases itself in an anointing, Lord, and it affects the one in front of us. So let the ones that have lost their way, God, be affected and infected by your love in the earthly realm, Lord. I just prophesy that right now. Let love be released, Lord, wherever we go. Let love, Lord, as we walk into atmospheres, let them shift. God, as we walk into environments, Lord, let them shift, Lord. Because we're carriers of your love, Lord. You said that we're made in your image, and you said that you are love. That means we're reflecting love. We should be reflecting love wherever we go. Lord, I love and I honor every single one of your people, Lord. The good, the bad. I don't come after the blood, Lord, or after the person, Lord. I come after the principality, God, that's infected them. The principalities of darkness, God, that are operating inside of your people that have gone astray. So, Lord, we do. We just intercede and contend for them right now in the mighty, loving name, the transforming name of Jesus. Amen.
So as we were worshiping, I just thought of this scripture. I didn't think of it. God gave it to me, but it says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. He chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are." And Father, I am asking, Lord, for a change of perspective in your body. A change of perspective, Father God. For those who say, "I am not, I am not, I am not," you are calling them to bring to nothing things that they think are. Father God, for every stronghold, Father God, that they come up against and they say, "I'm not enough," Lord, you are enough and you made them enough because you dwell in us. Father God, I pray for a change of perspective in your body. Father God, lift up their eyes, Lord. Help them see where you have put them, Father God. Help them see how you have positioned them to move forward in the earth, Father God, to call down your will and your way. Father, to call down your will and your way in every circumstance, Father God. Lord, for every person that feels like they're not enough, Father God, I pray for a change of perspective, Father God, not just in this room, but Father God, across the nation, Father, lift up their eyes so that they could see, Father. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord.
About to get real vulnerable, but going off of what Kyle was praying into with the addiction, after my divorce with my Mormon husband, Mormons tend to go a little haywire after they leave the church, and so I did, and I went into alcohol and I went into weed and dropped the alcohol quick, but I smoked weed for the last 4 years, and today I'm 9 days sober. And I haven't gone more than 3 days in the last 4 years because of the lie that it fed me that I needed it. Because of how sneaky that devil's voice is when you're on it. You think you're listening to God sometimes, and you really aren't. And so on my fourth day, the Lord had me journal and open my eyes to the detrimental things that it has done in my life when I thought it was helping me and how much it actually has been hurting me. So I'm just going to read this. And thank you for the grace and the mercy for all of you while you hear it. So I wrote, I feel I need to document my journey of getting off cannabis. I have been smoking weed and dab pens consistently for a little over 4 years now. At first, it was just to get high and have fun. Then it turned into a coping mechanism, which finally led to numbing my emotions altogether. Because of marijuana, I was so off my rocker high from my first real dab with a rig that I had a promiscuous night I can barely remember, which sadly resulted in later getting an abortion in 2020 after my divorce. I almost got a DUI a month prior because of it as well. Only by the true grace of God did I walk away without one. To say weed has been a giant factor of ruining my life is an understatement. I took an innocent life that wasn't mine to take because I just couldn't be attached to that man the rest of my life and wasn't in a good financial situation to be able to support that sweet baby. I made horrid decisions on men I've dated, and it has made me see past some pretty crazy red flags that should have reared me in the opposite direction had I been in my right mind. If I wasn't so dang coordinated naturally, and by the grace of God, I easily would have failed that lengthy DUI test and been put in the back of that police car. Yeah. So, Lord, I thank you for getting me out of these situations. I thank you that you came in and that you saved the day, Lord. I thank you that only with your help, Lord, I finally made the decision to quit and begin my deliverance process with you. Thank you that I made this decision because I no longer wish to be attached to any worldly thing and solely rely on you for my healing and aid. Father, I've gone my whole life leaning on people and things to keep me going instead of you. I kept thinking God will deliver me of it in his own timing, but the reality is I have to make the choice to let go. Father, I was sick of feeling desperate for it, and I am grateful to be able to feel desperate for you. I was wrong, Lord. I have a loving Father who wants me to be set free from all bondage, but it starts with a very weak and yet firm yes to actually walking in that freedom, not needing the weed in my pocket. Not needing to reach for anything or anyone but you, Lord. Even though things have gone haywire in my life, and even though things have been crazy the last 9 days, not one ounce of me has wanted to reach for it. Because you are so, so good, Lord. Because of that week, yes, you came in and you saved the day for me. Thank you for being there for me to lean on. And anytime I've wanted to reach for it, Lord, I've got on my knees instead. And I've asked for your help and you came. So thank you for being such a good, good God. Thank you for releasing the spirit of addiction over me and over anyone else in this room who is suffering from this horrible, horrible demon. Lord, I break it off in the mighty name of Jesus. And I ask that you come in and you save the lives of those who think they need anything from this world to get by, Lord. You can go in replacement of anything, any anti-anxiety or depression, any alcohol, any marijuana, any drug, Lord. May we replace it with you and you alone and lean on you and you alone. and come to you in our time of need, even when we're in the midst of the storm. Lord, you are so good if we just would look at you. And Lord, you brought me into the cloud-filled chamber, and you put your head on mine and touched my nose with your nose and looked me dead in the eye and said, I'm the only thing you need to go to. I'm the only thing you need to look at. Put these things away and follow me. Look at me, and things will be okay. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for comfort. Thank you for consistency. Thank you that when I got lost and felt all alone, Lord, you were there. Thank you for being there for all of us, for showing us that if we slow down, stay in the moment, and stand in our God-given power, that you will always make things go right in our life. You will always turn it for the good. And even though this has ruined my life, it is a part of my testimony to be able to help those who are getting through the same thing. So thank you. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. We're going to close in worship here. And there's a scripture in Acts 4. It just says this. It's talking about Peter and John and some of the things that were happening as they were followers of Jesus, by the way, which following Jesus means you're actually following his footsteps. You're actually walking in step with him. Sometimes we say we're followers, but there is a difference. John 1 talks about it. But it says this, it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled. We were just praying into this about how God uses the foolishness of the world to confound the wisdom of the wise. And says these were unschooled, ordinary men. It says, but they were astounded, not because of what they could do. It says, and they took note, these men had been with Jesus. There's something powerful, not something, it's all powerful, when we're walking in alignment with the plans of Christ, when our eyes are on him and off of all the other things, which means that there's nothing in this world that can satisfy us. And it says in, let me just read this part in, the first part of 1 John 2, it says, whoever claims to live in Christ must walk as Jesus did. But then right after that it says, so do not love the world or anything in the world. For anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There's another scripture that talks about this, the love of money. And it says a love of money is actually a root of evil. But that money is actually the word mammon. It's the system of this world, the things of this world. There's another scripture that talks about you cannot love both God and mammon, God and money, in Matthew 6. And so, Lord, I just thank you that there is just a cleansing of your church, of your body, off of the things of this world, as Tracy was saying, that we're in the world, but we are not of it. The things like weed, the things that the enemy tricks us into thinking that you need these things of this world, which actually, like, they mess up our mind and they confuse us and they create this barrier where we aren't able to operate. We're not able to run the race with perseverance, the race that's marked out for us, because there's this, like, haze over us. There's this, like, the mind's confused, and the enemy loves to bring confusion. He brings confusion, and he's the father of lies. Jesus, it says, you came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. You came to give us freedom. You came to set us free. You came to break off chains. So, Lord, we just thank you for your love. We thank you, Jesus, that when we turn to you, when we come to you, when we surrender everything to you, you take care of these things. You break off these chains. You set us free from addictions. You set us in this place. You say, come up here and sit with me in the heavenly realms. Have this perspective. Lord, I thank you that we can be ordinary, unschooled people, but it will be evident that we have been with Jesus. Lord, confound the wisdom of the wise with those who are following you. So, Lord, we bless your name tonight. We just worship you. It is all eyes on Jesus. Lord, in those moments of fear, we say we're going to turn to you. We're going to worship you with all that we have, with our heart, soul, mind, strength. We're going to love you with all that we have. We will be lovers of you and of nothing of this world, of nothing else. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's just close with worship.
Sit on a throne. Its foundations are righteousness and justice. Thank you that you are above all, and all powers and principalities are subjected to you. We thank you that you reign over all, and you are coming back to manifest your authority on this earth. God, we just say, keep us faithful. We say, keep us humble. We say, keep us obedient. We say, keep us with our eyes fixed on you. Every other lover, every other God is an idol. But you're the one true living God. Lord, we just look to you. We honor you as your sons and your daughters. And we bless you. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for every prayer offered. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.